The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It is the Unpack Podcast here from acmepackingcompany.com. And SB Nation, talking about your still technically, possibly, could maybe make the playoffs, Green Bay Packers. Will they? Do we want them to? Who knows? We're going to get into it. We're going to talk a lot about Joe Barry today because that's what everyone's talking about this week. So we might as well just ride that wave. I'm Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And follow the show at the Unpack Pod on X and Instagram. Follow me on those same platforms. We got Nick. We got Alex. We got a Christmas tree in the background. We got a lot of sad on the air, it seems like, right now. How you doing, guys?
Fine. Whatever.
back in the hunt. It's been a while. Two weeks out of the hunt. We're back
feels
in it.
It's good to be back in the hunt, baby.
Yeah. Being in the hunt is a little more scrappy than being in the graphics, so
yeah,
maybe that's
bottom
where we
of the
belong.
Hunt now.
Yeah,
nearly,
almost mathematically eliminated, not quite.
Yeah,
in the hunt, yeah, but the back of the hunt. Yeah, I don't know if that's the best place to be.
Yeah, no.
Well, you can't shoot your fellow hunters unless you're behind them. I guess I don't know.
I don't think the Packers can't shoot anybody right now.
Yeah. Well, they can't fire anybody either, apparently. So. They
can't, yeah.
Heyo. Yeah, I don't know, guys. Packers lose to Baker, Reagan, Mayfield, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 34-20 at home. Is it the first visiting quarterback in Lambeau to have a perfect passer rating?
Yeah.
Cool. Right.
Not like Lambeau's a storied arena or anything. It's not like there have been a lot of opportunities for that to happen. How does it have to be Baker Mayfield of all quarterbacks, of everyone who's come through there? God, what a...
You just woke up feeling dangerous on Sunday, so...
Yeah, very cool, Baker.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. We've thrown around some different ideas about how to approach this show. Kind of feels like the usual... format is, I don't know, out the window. We got some poems, but notable nuggets. I mean, anything anybody tweeted at us is anything that we already want to talk about, which is just Joe Barry and this defense and where do we go from here? I mean, we had a presser from Matt LaFleur probably one of the most eagerly awaited press conferences in the last couple of years here in Green Bay. Fans waiting with bated breath to see the manner in which Joe Barry would be brought out in front of the cameras in tarred and feathers. And it didn't happen. Joe Barry was not fired. I don't know, guys, I guess we'll just tee it up generally this way to start with. What do we think the way that LaFleur has handled this, what does that say about him as a coach, about the Packers as an organization, and what does it say to the players? Because to me, it's all bad.
It doesn't say much other than LaFleur is sort of deer in headlights right now. He's not fighting for his job necessarily because there's been enough good flashes out of the offense, which he is tasked with, scheming for. And Love has buoyed him enough this year, but it just seems like he just keeps pushing off what everybody knows is inevitable. So, call his leadership, call his like strike force into question. But it doesn't give you a lot of confidence in him, just like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, just as a general leader. I don't know. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he's having a hard time not like making the decision. I think he's having a hard time acting on the decision that's probably already been made. And I think it's like part of it is that he's like a really nice guy. He probably didn't want to have to do this. And it's probably also takes a little, for one to come to the realization that it probably wasn't a good hire to begin. I mean, questionable hire to start, right? Questionable hire to start. Skepticism surrounding it from the get-go. Yeah. And it turned out being a bad move. So I guess I could say it's that maybe he's at best a really loyal person to the guy that he hired, but also, from a professional standpoint, probably a little overwhelmed with having to be in charge of all of this.
Yeah. That's my impression.
I just feel like he's like, would rather not have to talk about this, yeah. Like obviously.
That's really the way it seems. It's just like, I made pee-pee in the bed upstairs and I ran downstairs and I know what happened. My parents know what happened. Can we just move past it?
Can you stop asking about it? And look, I mean,
those
I get
are
what
my
he's...
sheets in the laundry machine.
I get what he's like. I don't know. I kind of agree with the standpoint that like, what is a in-season firing do right now with 3 games left to play? Kind of. But I think it's in an ideal scenario, there would be some type of relatively decent succession plan in the event that something like this were to happen. Like, it's not like he went into this season with a ton of job security. The whole like fire Joe Barry narrative has been around a very long time. So I think they're just in a crap scenario where they have no other option but to keep him. But to not have that option is the statement, that I think you were asking about the organization and about LaFleur and like the way he's kind of positioned this staff. Like, look, man, it's a hard job. Like, I get it, but, when Mike McCarthy wanted to call plays and just kind of like run the offense and also just be like the guy at the mic acting tough, he hired Dom Capers, who was like one of the most esteemed defensive coaches around, for a while with tons of experience. Like, Joe Barry's not that. And I'm not saying that those guys grow on trees, but like at the time, you were the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, perennial Super Bowl contender. Like, you probably could have made a better play.
Yeah.
Like now you're not. Now that's not there. It's not that kind of job anymore. And I listened to Justice and Tex talk about that on the repack. Like, where are you going to go? Some college guy? Like, you're not going to poach that guy right now. It's not going to be installed until the offseason. So maybe not firing him makes some degree of sense. But what was an attractive job back then is no longer. And Joe Barry played a big part in making it unattractive, which sucks.
Well, I don't know if I totally agree with that. I think it's still like, I think to me, Love and the offense have shown enough that I think it still could be an attractive job. And there's a lot of capital invested in the defense. So I still think it could be an attractive job. But to back up a little bit, we heard from guys like Silverstein and a few others, like the theory basically that one of the reasons why Matt LaFleur may not be firing Joe Barry right now is that there isn't really anyone else on the staff who has a lick of play calling experience. And the way that they would have to reshuffle, like, it just didn't make sense. They didn't have that backup plan in house. But to go back, echoing your point from earlier, Alex, like, that is also on the coach. That is like, it's just basic contingency plan stuff that you need to do. You probably should have had a guy like that in house. I mean, that's what the NFL is. At least one thing a year for every team is going to go sideways, and you need to have a backup plan for it.
Yep. Well, what do we think? I do not think he's, well, we obviously know at this point it wasn't going to happen this week. I don't think it's going to happen next week or the week after. So
no, it'll happen when the season's over. He's definitely done. I think this is where, Alex, you talked about treating our episode today as the Joe Barry retirement party. And
what do we say? Yeah, yeah. Throw it.
What?
Throw the old retirement party a little early?
Maybe.
Da, 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 da. Many happy returns, sir.
I mean, I just feel like it. Yeah. The tone seems like it's just a matter of time. Like, yeah, we're just like, you know, ticking out the final few.
Well, and that's why at the top I said, what does it say to the players that you're keeping him? Because like at this point, and Barry has apparently addressed the players, and we're not going to know what was said, but they know he's a lame duck coordinator and they're frustrated. We're hearing, you know, Campbell and other guy, like they are frustrated, and it sounds like they're frustrated with coaching, with the coordination, with the communication, with what they're being asked to do or what they're not being asked to do. It's just, it couldn't be more of a mess really on defense, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be important to kind of look back and reflect on some of the accomplishments that Joe was able to attain when he was in Green Bay.
Like giving up a perfect passer rating to Baker Mayfield.
Exactly.
Very impressive.
So in the spirit of doing things that no one's ever done before, Joe was able to somehow manufacture a essentially perfect game for a subpar quarterback on his home turf.
Yes, truly a visionary, a pioneer of our time.
In December to a team from Florida. Not that has to matter, but like, come on.
A quarterback who's been with his third team in as many years.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing short of impressive. So I wanted to just, you know, kind of like open it up and see what you guys, like some of your favorite memories, because this is, you know, it's just going to be an era to be remembered for many reasons. Like one being, and I'll start, and this was a harbinger of things to come, his very first game as defensive coordinator, don't forget. We talk about Baker Mayfield. Joe was also able to somehow call a game in which Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns and no interceptions in his very first game as Packers defensive coordinator.
That is incredible.
Congratulations, Joe.
That is getting off to a fast start and setting the tone.
Wow, that's like you start your job day one, and you just walk into the break room and just like take a crap on the table. just yeah, letting them know right away.
Immediately.
I'm here. I'm the new guy. And I am shitting in the break room.
Now, there were a lot of things wrong in that game, but 38-3 first game, not a great look. Fast forward to the fall of 2022 last season. And who could forget Joe's impressive run of nearly losing to Bailey Zappe, needing overtime to beat Bailey Zappe, who came in for the injured Brian Hoyer for a lowly Patriots team. But following that up with back-to-back losses to Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson, the New York double, New York, losses to the Giants and Jets. That was the beginning of a 5-game losing streak. The Commanders beat them the week after that. Again, not all of these issues were Joe's. But do you guys remember that stretch? Come on.
An accomplishment, Zappe, nonetheless, yeah.
Zappe, Jones, Wilson stretch, that is an epic one. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Does anyone have anything else? Anything? Come on. Let's share some of these wonderful accomplishments that Joe has. I know there's plenty more to go around. What do you got, Nick? What's your favorite Joe memory?
Yeah.
Set him off in style.
Yeah. There's one that comes to mind. And we talk a lot about the rushing defense. Joe helped to give up more rushing yards by you know, surrendered by a defense than have happened in the last three seasons, when he allowed, I believe it was 363 rushing yards to the Philadelphia Eagles last season. Let's see here. 157 rushing 157 rushing yards to Jalen Hurts. Miles Sanders, who I mean, it was he fell short of Jalen Hurts total. He only got to 143. And Gainwell also got into the end zone. So that was pretty good. Yeah. To be able to give up more rushing yards than any team has given up since 2021. Congratulations,
all
Joe.
All ball carriers averaging over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That was definitely a good one.
And that was the Jordan Love quote unquote coming out party that had to be spoiled.
Yeah.
By nearly 400 GD yards on the ground. So congratulations. Zach, you have any nominations?
You know, this might, maybe this is a cop out, but it's every new fresh wound is a pleasure from from Joe Barry, and I just like, there's a reason why this game against the Buccaneers just feels like the culmination of years of poor coordinating and miscommunications on the field, and winnable games down the drain. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of the examples that you guys are giving are the Packers give up 200 rushing yards to somebody, to the obvious guy. But in this game against the Buccaneers, I mean, nobody averaged more than 4.3 yards per carry. Rashad White had 89 yards on 21 carries. And really, it was Baker Mayfield. That the Joe Barry defense, the Fangio, whatever you want to call it, is designed to bend but don't break, allow some runs, but just don't allow big pass plays. Keep everything in front of you. And Baker Mayfield comes to town and throws 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and throws for almost 400 yards. It is unbelievable to me. And I didn't get to watch it live, so you guys were very respectful in our text thread and left me alone for a few hours. And then I was out with family and came home and silently on the couch while we were all together watching other stuff. I had it on my phone and I was just kind of breezing through the rebroadcast. And at the end of it, I was like, wait, I think my only takeaway is fire Joe Barry, but I wonder what everyone else is saying. Cause I was sort of like half paying attention to it on my phone. And yeah. And then to go back and chat with you guys about my observations and go back to Twitter and kind of like reread the thread is just like, wow, this really is the culmination of it's just like a slow motion hot lava, like meltdown, just bubbling over. I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling, but I really do feel like there have been a lot of absurdities over his tenure in Green Bay. But this might be chief among them for me. I don't know. It just feels like the way that it slipped away in the fourth quarter, just I'm running out of steam with my point. It's
It's important to recognize that this was also kind of a playoff game, you know, at home.
They needed it.
It was made more important because they screwed up on the road last week, the week prior. And that wasn't all the defense's fault. Jordan Love didn't play a great game. Matt LaFleur might have called a bad game. We talked about it. But like Tommy DeVito will also be remembered for his Monday Night Football performance against Joe Barry's defense. Like, you know, it's not like this guy, like he's coming in, he's a sensation. Like he came in and sucked against the Saints and they got their butts kicked. Like, because that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and I know the Saints are pretty aggressive, like well-respected defense, but to have, Tommy DeVito kind of show you up and then have him go out, what are they scored 6 points against the Saints, the Giants?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's insane. On. Like he'll be remembered as, you know, a guy who coordinated a defense that many people could have like their stat game on. Like, yeah. I don't have this,
yeah,
but I would love to know how many guys had their career highs or just like highlight of their
just like the eye moments. Test thing.
Yeah.
Like it remind, like you, Zach, you talk about like, or Alex, maybe it was you, that quasi playoff game. Last year, week 18 was essentially that playoff game.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
Yeah. And Joe Barry, his defense did hold the Lions to 20 points, but when it mattered the most on that 4th-and-1 where the Lions had the balls to go for it, Joe Barry's defense is yards and yards and yards off of the of the wide receivers. Yeah. And I don't know.
Well, Joe Barry will tell you all that matters is the score on the scoreboard at the end of the game, but he's wrong. You know what else matters? Situational football. And he is without a doubt one of the worst coordinators I have ever seen at situational football at the NFL level. It is absurd. Yeah.
The reason he's unfazed by the situation is because it doesn't register to him.
Right.
He doesn't know what the situation is.
Because he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. He's unfazed by the moment because he's looking somewhere else, sticking to what he went into the game with. It's
ignorance remarkable. Is one way to keep your calm.
I guess. Yeah.
Just have no idea what you're doing and breeze right through.
That's why people who don't watch the news are less sad in the world.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to that.
Yeah.
This is the part where we would ask Joe to come up to the stage and kind of like put our arm around him and be like, Joe, we're going to miss Preston Smith covering some of the best slot receivers in football. We're going to miss seeing Jair Alexander, one of the best press corners, line up 12 yards off of the opponent.
Play a soft
on third and medium. We're going to miss the head coach having to parse words between down linemen and players just lined up in the box. Yeah, I don't know what else.
We're going to miss the base nickel defense that you refuse to move out of at any point in time throughout the game, no matter, you know, what the situation looks like.
We're going to miss how easy it is to, you know, bet on players' overs against you.
Yeah.
Which
there is a sports gambling aspect to this. It's true.
I kind of feel like I didn't take advantage of that enough in my 3 years with Joe.
Hey, you got three
Joe.
Games left.
I do have three games left. Now, these opponents are not ones I could even convince myself of.
Will Bryce Young have a career game?
I mean,
like, why did we not take every Saquon Barkley prop when we were going to the Giants game last week? Because of course he wouldn't stop the best player on the opponent's offense, and stack the box and make DeVito beat you. Like, God.
To the obvious guy, Joe. Finally, you are the obvious guy to hit the bricks.
Yep.
Salut. Oh boy. As we all take all right. a swig.
Well, we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Now we can move on.
Yeah. Let's try to make a pact. It's going to be difficult, but among the three of us, we said our goodbye to Joe Barry. Hopefully, we can just focus on the positives for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I like that.
I like it too. So,
says you.
After the remainder of this episode. Okay. Got too much negative in the,
We've been good at policing ourselves. I haven't said that you know who in a while, but that I've got. Oh man, I just every time I look at my phone, this week,
the
I'm
new
more
president
and more annoyed.
CEO of the Jets.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it seems.
Was he medically cleared?
He's here to help the front office with personnel decisions if they want him to, because he's proven he's a good recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
All right.
Let's get all your old washed up friends.
On that note, we're going to throw it to break and we're going to put Joe Barry behind us, I think. And then we'll come back and we'll read some poetry and we'll move on to greener pastures and fresher perspectives. We'll be right back.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference.
That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, we are back, and I'm going to usher us behind the beady curtain here. Nick, you want to take us away into poetry land?
I'd love to. Prison of false hope. Maximum security. No chance for parole.
Wow.
Elaborate,
just, please.
Yeah, it just really does feel like, and we were talking about it earlier in our chat, it just feels like that is the burden you take on as a sports fan. You have this circular motion of, especially as a Packers fan over the past, you know, decade and a half, you have an opportunity to, you know, see the growth, see the change, get very, very close. And this was kind of born out of me asking the two of you, because I've been, you know, I'm into my second year joining you two on the Unpack. I asked what it was like to talk about a good team, you know, because it's been nothing but mediocrity. And you get that slight tinge of, like, you know, that false hope toward the end of the season, or, you know, toward the end of the season, like, you know, it's part of the way toward the end of the season, like this year, and then it all to be ripped away from you. And it was basically the same thing. You just had a little more, you know, a little more hope potentially, but it all came crashing down. So my ask of the two of you, as we're in this prison of false hope, if you agree that, you know, that's sort of where we stand, and if you think that, you know,
the cycle of pain. Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It well.
I'd like to enlist the two of you, to organize sort of an Alcatraz style prison break. And what I'm going to ask is, you know, maybe we get caught in our attempt. Maybe we make it outside of the grounds and, you know, we're already serving a life sentence. So whatever, wasn't you tack a couple hundred years on, why does it matter? Or maybe we make it to, you know, Central America or wherever those, the Alcatraz escapees were rumored to make it to, you know, that would best case scenario.
Or maybe we die on the rocks, waves
okay
crashing over our dead bodies.
Yeah. We're all going to die anyway. So, I would like the two of you to nominate, you know, a tool that it could be as fantastical as you think, or as practical as you think, that might,
that's my tool.
Yep. Or the lack thereof, you know, that, and it, you know, it could be an adjustment of expectations. It could be therapy, whatever it is that is going to help remove you from this prison. And, you know, I've learned how my fandom works. It's been cataloged here on the podcast, episode in and episode out. So I'm going to think in terms of what will help this team in the most outlandish way possible, and subsequently help me break free of the shackles of inevitable pain. And where I've landed on that is, if we could just take a gigantic cement truck and back it up through the prison walls and pour concrete into the spine of this defense, so that these 200-yard rushing games don't happen over and over again. Like, the Packers, for as long as I can remember, always rank in the bottom of rushing defense.
Yeah.
And I'm just so tired of it. I don't know what else to do. And like, I think it is a scheme thing. I really, really do, because the talent, like, we don't have, you know, exemplary talent defensively, comparatively speaking. But if you look at like pressure rate, like Gary's getting there, Kenny Clark's getting there. Like, there are supremely talented guys on this defense. And but it's not commensurate with, like, the blitz rate's not commensurate with the amount of pressures like some of the good teams that you see have. Like the 49ers, for example, they blitz like 20% of the time and they're pressuring like 30% of the time. Like,
yeah,
that equation is the other way with the Packers.
Yeah.
And if there could just be in a position where they got pressure with four consistently, maybe that frees everything up, but it's got to start with that interior defense. And that would be the biggest tool that I would try to implement if that were, you know, if it were up to me.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, to hear you talk about how it feels like the defense has always been that way. Cause it really, you know, I was thinking about this as we were talking about Joe Barry, the new he who shall not be named at the top of the show. But, you know, we have also endured Mike Pettine and Dom Capers and like this laundry list of just people who surrendered career best days to the obvious guy. It's like a thing about being just like how a thing about rooting for like a team like the 49ers or the Ravens or the Steelers is that you're generally going to get a pedigree of good defense over the course of like watching them for 20 years. I don't know how that become, I don't know how that is an emphasis and a point of pride that spans like multiple coaching staffs and iterations of the team, but it does. And with the Packers, it's the opposite. The thing that spans multiple iterations of our team and our coaching staff is these very inconsistent defenses that give up career best days to the obvious guy. It's just, it is maddening. But to your question, if I think about my favorite, every white guy in America's favorite prison movie, The Shawshank Redemption.
Sure.
I think about Andy Dufresne and his little like stone cutting, like little tiny axe that he was using, to like, make his little chess pieces out of found stones, but also to secretly dig his way out of the prison very slowly. Over the course of like what I think is supposed to be like 10 years, very slowly chipping away until one day it happens and it works. And like, that's how I feel about like emotionally, like my approach to the team is like, it's thinking about, yeah, just sort of like watching the team over the years is these little incremental steps that you see as a fan watching over the course of a number of seasons. And then like, just, it feels slow and plodding and slight progress. And then suddenly it's 2010 and you win the Super Bowl. And then it's back to the little tiny pickaxe again for, you know, going on 15 years now. And that's what it was like before 2010 as well. So that's my vote. The little pickaxe. We got to be patient. But you know, if we're truly talking about cycles, these prolific cycles of certain teams, then we're in a cycle again where we're about to break the dam and have a new quarterback who's going to be able to win us a Super Bowl, and then we'll have 10 years of pain after that. So
it takes a lot happening behind the scenes with that little pickaxe chipping away for all that to happen. But man, I would love for that to be the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not for a lack of trying. There's been
totally,
you know, to the cement truck point, it's like,
we've taken opposite approaches here. I just,
I'm trying to brick to the head.
Yeah.
Zach, to call back.
Like slowly chip away. It's like, fix it.
I'm
now.
Like, no, but I want it fixed now. Whatever
investment level. I mean, but they have invested. That's what I mean. So like, it is what it is. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's just this part of being a Packers fan. We've always talked about inside linebackers and how badly we wanted them. And then we thought that we got them. And then we paid one and he overachieved and we re-signed him. And now he's like enemy number one. Like they're like, oh, this guy's got to be playing through injury. He can't possibly be that bad.
Yeah.
And he's denying it's kind that of both. It's like,
he was bad. He was even bad last year.
Campbell, that yeah, is. He, yeah. It's like, it's a vicious cycle and it always has been the case. And then we snuck a Super Bowl in there and, maybe that's our MO and that's what people think of us as. And like our, little circularity thing really is focused on that. But it's also like the other thing that our culture breeds is good quarterbacks, which always puts us in this conundrum to have that hope. You know, that's the difficult part is that we'll always have that hope.
To be good enough to have that hope.
Because we deserve the hope. Because this sport is supposed to be one in which only one guy matters more than everybody else. And we always have that guy. I don't have a physical tool like a cement truck or a pickaxe, but there's an analogy I really liked on a podcast that I really like, and it's completely different sport.
Can I take a guess what sport that is?
Well, it's about soccer, but they were likening it to Formula One, which
it was curling, so
not that into, but it's to. You know, it's just an exercise in expectation management, right? And that we get caught up in the week-to-week stuff. But we went into this year, I think, with certain expectations, the way like Formula One teams go into a season, like nobody's like the season is over before it begins. You know, Red Bull is racing for the title. Maybe there's like one team competing with them. But like we can be a team who's satisfied just to not be the worst, right? Like we can go in with wanting little wins, like a podium finish at one race or whatever it might be. And like, we kind of had our moment. I think Jordan Love had some of his moments. And we're not racing the Chiefs and Eagles. And, that's just not who you're racing against. You know, it's like to know who you're racing against. And it was about soccer because it was like the curse there is that there's so many teams playing for nothing because there is no playoff. But, coming into this season, I think 7-8 wins would have been perfect. And like if this were a European sport where there's a table, it'd be what they call just a mid-table finish. And that's exactly where they're going to land. Yeah. So it's to just take the long. My tool is to take the long view, expectation management, try to remove yourself, let go. Like let go of the hope. I say that as someone who's like, a week ago was like, I can't believe I can't make plans in January now because I got to watch the playoffs. Like,
that was far too measured for
my liking.
I
don't practice what I preach, but
hopelessness flow through you is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. There's many teams in many sports that go into a year hopeless, but for some reason in the NFL, because of the randomness and the parity every year and the fact that 14 teams get to play, and if they could string a couple of good weeks together, they could call themselves champions. Like it's one of the only sports where that, that many teams go into it with some degree of hope. Many of them, the majority don't. So just think about that. Like we could just be a hopeless team who entertained their fans for, the shittiest part of the year. Do stuff.
Well,
because it's cold and dreary and everything.
I guess in a way that you are aiding our prison break because it's no longer a prison of false hope. It's sort of like an open field of hopelessness that we bask in.
Yeah.
And maybe that's okay. I don't believe you. And
I'm trying.
Yeah.
To let go.
I believe that it's something that you want to believe in.
Well, it takes practice. And that's
We haven't reached self-actualization.
All right. Well, I think to echo what you're saying about just kind of let go and experience and enjoy. I think that pivots nicely into my haiku. So we're gonna put Alcatraz behind us. the hopelessness of love. That's not quite what I'm going for. Without promise now, hands grasping at the future, we want to see what. So my haiku is also posing a question to you guys, which is, you know, we've got a lame duck defensive coordinator. They've got, I don't know what the percentage is, chance of making the playoffs if you want to play that game. But, you know, assuming that the season just is what it is and we just want to sort of experience it and there's not going to be any kind of magical postseason run and all that stuff, what are we hoping to see out of these last handful of games? I think there's three games left. What do we want to see?
I think mine's pretty easy, and we're probably all on the same page here, but it's just that incremental Jordan Love growth. Like, that's the thing that I'm most excited about. And it wasn't, the last 2 weeks have not been perfect by any measurement, but that throw, oh man, like that throw to Jaden Reed was so cool. And he had a running lane and just, he's like, no, that was like very, you can ding me here. I'll put a quarter in the jar. That was very Rodgers-esque to be able to be like, no, I can see one option in front of me, but I know I have the talent to pull off this throw that's going to yield a better result. So
yeah, really threw it on a rope. What a throw, man. I more specifically said, more love wow throws, because I want to be completely confident that he has that in him every week. He hasn't had it every single week in this game as the season has gone on, every single week in the season. I mean, as the season has gone on, you've seen more and more flashes of that, but I would love to end the season being completely confident that every week he's got that in him. And that's not to say my standards are not, you know, this person needs to be Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. They need to be a Hall of Famer. But we've seen the wow throws, and I just want to be more confident that's there.
Yeah. I'm along similar lines. I guess the first thing that came to mind for me was a little less Jordan Love specific, but he plays arguably the second biggest role in this happening, and that is to come away from the final three games absolutely convinced that the Packers are a good defensive coordinator hire away from being a contender again.
Yeah.
And more specifically, being convinced that Matt LaFleur is still a great offensive coach. I want to see some blowouts. Like, you have this opportunity, even if they don't end up mattering because you're not going to make the postseason, of playing some crappy teams who it will feel good for you to hang 35 to 40 points on. Like,
yeah.
I know this is weird. Forget the defense. Like, okay, you know, just like go out and rack up your stats.
Yeah.
And convince me, because there has been so many ups and downs this year, and there have been flashes of brilliance from Love, but there have also been flashes of brilliance from LaFleur and then some really like questionable stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't Aaron Jones continue to touch the ball after having a very, very effective opening drive against the Buccaneers? You're at home. You know what I mean? Like, him finishing that game. I know he came into it, he's been hurt for a while. Him finishing with 13 touches after his volume on the first drive and effectiveness on the first drive is inexplicable. So I want to come away from it feeling less like next year is a year where Matt LaFleur can get fired, and more like a year that, you know, we might actually find ourselves in a really good playoff scenario if we hire the right guy in January or whenever they make that hire, January, February.
Yeah.
Because look, he's not on the hot seat. He's a good coach. He's a good offensive coach, I think. But like, there's always kind of reason to question that recently. Or I guess question him as a head coach. So I don't want to be thinking those thoughts, you know?
Like, yeah.
I don't make me do this, man.
I've got one more nomination, and it's in line with what you guys are kind of talking about. The Packers have the propensity to play down to their opponents, like we've talked about. Just kick the shit out of these final three opponents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like drive it home and take some of the stuff out of the questioning sphere.
Yeah.
Just drive it home. Be like, yeah, the Panthers are a historically bad team. Let's treat them as such and right. not like make it closer than it has to be, or God forbid lose.
And, yeah. and it feels good beating division opponents too. Like that's what I was trying to get to with my whole, you know, analogy of F1, like know who you're racing against. Like the Packers went into this year maybe hopeful that they can race against the Lions, but they were really racing the Vikings and Bears, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's where we were. So win that battle, you know, which they have the opportunity to do, which is a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind if they do it in convincing fashion, because like mediocre teams are kicking the crap out of bad teams. Like it happens, you know. Yeah. Like we don't need to consider ourselves lucky if it happens.
Yeah. And it would just be nice to end the season ahead of the Vikings, who are a team who down the stretch have relied on Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins. Like they're out there with a backup quarterback, and it's just,
I don't mean in a
head to head. I just mean in general, like you'd like to think that you could place better than that team.
Their seasons fell apart. Like they just did. And that's, it would be, I would be a little embarrassed, honestly, if they didn't. Because we do have the best quarterback in the division, most like, well, second best maybe, but
depends on where you place Goff.
Yeah. Theoretically, like his ceiling is probably higher. So
Jordan Love's ceiling is higher. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm looking for, which is a fun thing to look for, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm looking also for more Wicks and Reed development. I think that has been, you know, among all of the pain points that we have talked about at length this season, I feel like that has really, it's been nice to seem like Goody nailed those two picks. And, you know, for all the hand-wringing we had about Watson and Dobbs earlier in the season, like I think those, you know, those are NFL players. How good they are remains to be seen, but they're NFL players. So the four of them, I feel good about that room, and I want to see them continue to evolve, improve, and gel. And you know, speaking of young players on the defensive side, I am interested to see more of Carrington Valentine. I'd like to see him continue to get reps and be aggressive. I mean, that's just a real, again, talking about Goody, a real steal if that guy turns into a player, as I believe a seventh round pick. And then Lucas Van Ness, I'd like to see him continue to come on. I feel like these last couple games, he has like one play where you're like, oh yeah, they drafted that guy and he's kind of a freak.
Yeah. If maybe the snap count goes up a little bit as the season drags on, I'd like to ramp him up into next year and see what, you know, that full potential looks like.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they were hoping to put him on the Gary track, which is to like have him play in limited situations where they knew that he could succeed and kind of learn a little bit in his rookie year. And that appears to be happening. And then hopefully we'll see that the second year leap.
Yeah, baby.
Maybe before we hit the corner, over 7.5 season total wouldn't be bad either for the Packers.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's still some interest.
Yeah, still some intrigue there.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to step out onto the corner because the defensive coordinator may be a lame duck and we may just be watching some meaningless football here, but you can always make it interesting by wagering a little money. And Nick, of course, you are referencing our season over under win total 7.5.
That's right. It went, oh man, it
I
went
did
from
take
looking,
the under on that. Wow.
Did you?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh,
it,
wow.
It nice. Went from looking good to bad to good to questioning at this point in time. Next week will be very indicative of that. Can I take the over? Eternal optimists that we are?
Yes.
Optimists until we're not, and then I want to break into prison with a cement truck.
Yeah, I'm pretty, you know, not to toot my own horn, I'm pretty proud of myself for taking the under on that and staying true to myself all season long that like 6 wins is like what I'm hoping for. And like I feel crappy about Joe Barry, obviously, but I don't know, things to be excited about. I feel like I'm going to give myself a pat on the back because I think I've done a pretty good job of letting the hopelessness flow through me.
Attaboy.
All right. I know it's Tuesday as we record this, recording early again this week. So I don't know if we actually have player props yet. What do we got?
I only nominated one that I saw on DraftKings, which not great odds at this point. We're just trying to buy a win here, guys. Like last week, we had Packers team total of 22.5. I took the over, didn't hit. They scored 20 points. I think Nick nominated Packers first half minus 1.5. Did not hit either. Packers did not go into halftime with a lead. And yeah, so
they also deferred, which I was not expecting.
Wasn't that weird? I immediately was like, why? You've started games so fast. But anyway, that wouldn't have changed anything anyway. Yeah.
They were like, oh, Nick took the Packers first half minus 1.5, so we got to defer.
It's like, come on. Like, why? We've been on the team receive, like, finally. I feel like it's been over a decade since I've been on team receive. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I will nominate on DraftKings and many of the apps. They normally have a thing that's called the Race to 10.
Ah, I looked at that too.
Packers Race to 10 points. I mean, as we said, I don't know if the Panthers are going to score 10 points because just when Joe Barry is down and out, he like somehow like climbs up on the ropes and hangs in there for another round.
So that means you take the Packers to be the first team to reach at least 10 points.
Yeah. And it, which means, yeah. And if nobody ever reaches 10 points, you lose it.
You could also, do plus 2,800 for neither team reaching 10 points. The Packers will get there. I'm sure of it. So, but that
that'd be wild.
But you could do that for Race to 20 points plus 220 for neither.
That's kind of tasty. I don't know, though. I don't know. No, Jordan Love could be due.
I looked at that as well. You have to pay the juice. It's minus 170, but
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to, you know, make a ton off it. I'm here for that. So that's all I had to nominate for this one. Without the player props, it's difficult. I don't trust Matt LaFleur to take any Aaron Jones props. And then they're on to the Wick stuff, guys. Like it's that number has been climbing and climbing. I think it was in the 40s last week.
Yep.
So
they're on to us. The phones are tapped. You're listening to the pod.
But what did Wick finish with? I think it hit anyway, didn't it?
I'm not saying that it's that it might not hit. What did he finish with actually? But I'm just saying it's not at like the automatic take point anymore because also
Wicks
you never
had
know.
Six receptions for 97 yards
hit by so, a landslide
he definitely hit
we didn't even talk about Tucker Kraft, 4 receptions for 57 yards in a TD. Man, that is a proper man out there on the field, ladies and gentlemen.
The one text that I slipped up and sent during the game to Zach was just Tucker Kraft is a star.
Which
I appreciated.
If we were nominating one person on the Packers to break us out of prison, I would go with him. He seems like an absolute lunatic. God.
Just he is a cement truck. I mean,
yep.
We talked last week about him and Yak and how glorious it is to have a guy who can like take a hit and keep going. He took a helmet to the balls and tried to keep going. God. Are you kidding me? Love it. I love it.
I don't have a good nomination other than 36.5 is the over under, and I would probably lean under on the game, I think. I don't know.
You think this has 24-6 written all over it?
I mean, maybe that would be lovely if it was in the Packers' favor. Joe Barry is Joe Barry. And he's going to make terrible decisions, but sometimes an offense is so inept that it doesn't matter. And this Carolina offense is pretty damn bad. So
I agree, though, Alex, in passing just now, you said maybe Jordan Love is due. I mean, last week, 29 of 39, 284, 2 touchdowns, and defense let him down. I agree that we could see a little point explosion.
Yep.
Yeah. Stat game. Work your way as into the Pro Bowl alternates or whatever it is.
If Mac Jones can make it 1 year, Jordan Love can eke his way in.
I think so.
I love that for him because I assume there's probably some kind of little contract incentive for him.
Yeah. And he already is playing on a bargain.
How cool would it be to say he made the Pro Bowl in his first year as a starter? Like, that's a feel-good thing to take away from it. Also, like, his to say your numbers are better than Patrick Mahomes, that's also a cool thing to have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things going for us in that realm. All right, so you're taking the under 36.5 total. Yeah, I think I would probably do that too. Even if the Packers are high scoring, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, Panthers.
Yeah, I don't think the this is more the Panthers being bad than the Packers defense putting up this week.
Yeah. So, all right. Hopefully we get back on a winning track. It's been kind of rough because we went in thinking against these crap opponents in a playoff seat that we could maintain.
Yeah. Silly. Look at us, silly. Fools. Baker Mayfield.
Fools the lot of us. I think with that, I'm going to hit the polka. I think it's about that time. And Alex, you said it, man. Let's... no expectations. We're taking it back to the beginning of the season here. Just shake it off. Let's enjoy some football. Let's hope for some good stuff. Let's hope for see some development. Let's maybe try to hang a bunch of points on an inferior opponent. Let's not think about Joe Barry too much. Let's just not, if at all possible. Because as we touched on here, you know, we've already had his retirement party, so... So if he's back next year, we are screwed.
Yeah.
Both in terms of the podcast and the team. If he's back on the team next year, I might walk into a lake. all right, guys. Because I didn't say it at the top of the show, we have come to you today via the official Glenn's Not Dead Yet Zencaster account. Thank you, Glenn. Generous patron. Patreon.com/unpackpod. For them, I am me. Keep it locked in here on the podcast feed for all things Packers in your ears. And acmepackingcompany.com for the blog if you read words. And we will see you next week, guys. Let's go, Pack, go. Let's break out of that prison.